It is Father's Day. Congratulations to all fathers on being a father. It's a privilege to be a father, but as you fathers already know, it's an awesome responsibility also. Not everyone is a father, but as we consider what God has to say about fathers, we realize that many of the same things are true for all of us. Some of us are privileged to have or to have had wonderful, outstanding biblical fathers, whereas some of us have not had wonderful, outstanding biblical fathers, even though there was somebody who was physically a father for us. Some of you may not even have any idea who your father was. We must all remember, however, that we all, as saved people, have a perfect Father in heaven who dearly loves us and has provided for our eternal salvation. By now you have undoubtedly figured out that life is made up of a lot of choices. Sometimes these choices that we make are good, but sometimes the choices we make are actually bad. Some choices were even made for me, so that I had no say in the matter. We need to be careful of the choices we make. And as we make choices in our lives, we influence those around us regarding the choices they will make in their lives. We see that there are many choices which were made for me. There are a lot of things in my life so far over which I have had no control. I suspect you're in that same boat that I'm in. I did not get to choose certain things about my life. If you can believe it, and I'm guessing you'll figure it out, God never even bothered to consult me about many things in my life which he alone determined for me. My guess is that he also never thought it necessary to consult you about many things in your life either. And yet here we are. We need to accept these choices which have been made for us and accept them as the will of God for our lives at this point in time. I did not get to choose the day on which I would be born. Did you? I did not get to choose my skin color. Did you? I did not get to choose whether I would be a boy or a girl. I know that people today, some of them, think they can choose this later in life, and they're stupid. We know that didn't happen. God made that choice. I did not get to choose the country into which I would be born. Did you? I did not get to choose the family into which I would be born. Did you? There were times in my life when I think I wished I had been born into somebody else's family. I'm glad that God didn't grant my wish. I did not get to choose my parents. Did you? When I was a smart teenager and knew everything, I'd have chosen different parents at times. But I'm glad God didn't give me that privilege. I did not get to choose my parents' religion. Did you? Some parents are Muslims. Some are Buddhists. Some are Shintoists. Some are theological liberals. And some are Bible believers. I'm thankful I was born into a family where my parents were both Bible believers. Some parents are saved, but some are unsaved. I'm thankful that I had saved parents who were concerned spiritually for me. I did not get to choose whether I would have good or bad parents. Did you? I did not get to choose whether my parents would keep their vows and stay married for life, or whether my parents divorced and remarried multiple times. Did you? I did not get to choose whether I would have a stable home life. Did you? I did not get to choose my brothers or sisters or how many of them there would be. Did you? I remember a t-shirt worn by one of Jesse's brothers. It said, "We'll trade my sister for a John Deere tractor." I had a sister and I'd have traded her too. But today, I love my sister. There were times I did not think I did. Did you know I did not get to choose the abilities I would have or would not have? Did you? I did not get to choose whether I would be tall or short, big-boned or small-boned, athletic or non-athletic, highly intelligent, of average intelligence or below average intelligence. Did you? We didn't get to choose any of these things. I did not get to choose the economic conditions or social conditions in which I would be raised. Did you? When I was born, it was after the Depression, but the Depression was still having effects in the older people. I did not get to choose whether I would grow up in a big city or on a farm or in a farming community. Did you? I did not get to choose whether I'd be born where I'd have to speak with a southern drawl. I don't know how to do that. You didn't. Some of you get born where you could speak normal English. I say that because to me, normal English is Midwestern. It's not what I've learned here in North Carolina. I'm having to relearn a bunch of things. Some of you grew up here. It was God's will for you. I did not get to choose my educational opportunities as a child. Did you? There's the school. It's time for you to go. I did not get to choose my teachers or my fellow students. I would never have chosen some of my teachers. You know, I'm speaking about the old crabby ones who made me do what I didn't want to do. Really, they might have been old, but I might also have presented quite a challenge to them by my policy of non-cooperation. Can you believe that I would be like that? You don't know me very well if you think I wouldn't have been that way. I didn't get to choose my neighbors or my neighborhood. Did you? We could go on and on and on with this, but that's enough to show us that indeed there are a lot of things in our lives, far many things, which we had no choice about, no control over, for which we had no control. My note says far over. It should be for over. My spell checker didn't catch that one. Uh, And I shouldn't even have that word. I should have eliminated it, shouldn't I? I should have said, indeed, there are a lot of things in our lives over which you and I had no control. So I'm correcting my notes. You can do what you want with yours, but I hope you'll read them. The fact is, we must accept them as God's will for our lives at that time. You know, there are some choices that I should never make in life. Unfortunately, sometimes we have made some of these choices. Choices that actually end up harming us. I should never choose tobacco. And I say that in a state which has grown a lot of tobacco. A lot of people have had cancer as a result of it and other problems. I should never choose alcohol. And I'm not talking about rubbing alcohol. I'm talking about the kind that makes people drunk. I don't have cirrhosis of the liver, and I'm thankful. I should never choose drugs, and by which I mean illicit drugs. I'm not talking about prescription drugs. I should never choose crime. Something else I should never choose is sin. But unfortunately, we all chose to involve ourselves with sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Unfortunately, sin has its consequences. At the same time, however, God in His kindness has provided a way by which He forgives the sins people commit. But those who reject God's way of forgiveness will never be forgiven and will spend eternity in hell, in the lake of fire, paying for their own sins. It's so simple. People can accept and enjoy God's forgiveness or reject it and pay for their own sins in hell. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Indeed, there are a lot of choices in our lives we should never choose. Unfortunately, we may have made some of them. Fortunately, God is able and willing to forgive every bad choice we have ever made except one, the choice of not to accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior from sin and its consequences. God is furthermore able to give us victory over many of our bad choices. As we go on, we see that there are some choices everyone should make. I should always choose to do my best at everything I do. Not everybody feels that way, but I think that's what we should try to do. I should always choose to stay out of trouble. How are we doing with that one? Well, when we were younger, we probably didn't always choose to stay out of trouble. We probably chose to get into some, as long as mom and dad don't find out about it. Somehow they managed, didn't they? I should always choose to be honest and trustworthy. I should always choose to eat a balanced and healthy diet. I never liked balanced and healthy food when I was younger. God gave me a little more wisdom as I matured. In addition, there are some choices I must make. I must choose to be saved. I have a choice in the matter. So do you. What is your choice? God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet or still sinners, Christ died for us. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart Man believeth unto righteousness. Man believes the gospel, and God gives him righteousness. And with the mouth, confession, acknowledgement is made unto or regarding salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, or meaning the Gentile. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation is so simple. It simply means believing that Jesus died on the cross and paid for my sins and rose again from the dead, and calling on him and asking him to forgive me and save me from sin and its consequences. Acts 16:30-31, this is speaking of the Philippian jailer, and he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." What do you have to believe? That Jesus is God the Son, that he lived a perfect and sinless life, that he died on the cross and paid for the sins of all humanity, and that God raised him from the dead. If you do these things, you'll be saved. And your household will also be saved if they believe these things. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, or the good news, which I preached or proclaimed unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So I ask, have you chosen to be saved? You still can, if you will. I must also choose to be surrendered to the Lord. Now, here's where a lot of people seem to get off. They don't want to go this far, but they need to. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. You give your life to the Lord to live for him, holy, means set apart for him and his use, acceptable or well-pleasing unto God, which is your reasonable service, which means here's how you begin to worship God. It's with your mind. And be not conformed. Stop being conformed to this world. Your life needs to change. But be ye transformed. Be in the process of being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we do that by submitting our hearts and our minds to the teaching of the Word of God, that ye may prove or demonstrate what is that good and acceptable or well-pleasing and perfect will of God. Have you chosen to surrender your life to the Lord yet? You can do that. I'd be glad to help you with that. But it goes farther. In addition, I must choose to put the Lord first in my life. First, ahead of my job, ahead of my children, ahead of my spouse. It's easy when I say ahead of my sister, but ahead of everything else in my life? Exactly. I am not first in our leader's life, nor is she first in my life. We are both in second place. It's the Lord who is first in our lives. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, or the rule of God in your life, and his righteousness. And all these things, which is speaking of the things that you'll really need in life, shall be added unto you. So I ask, are you seeking God's reign or rule over your life as a believer? This is something you must do if you wish to be right with the Lord. I must furthermore choose to pursue after the Lord with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. Mark 12:30 says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength." This is the first commandment. Have you chosen to pursue after the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength? That's what you need to do. I should likewise choose to be living for the Lord. Wherefore we labor, 2 Corinthians 5:9, it means we make it our aim in life, that whether present or absent, whether we're here in the flesh or whether we've died and gone to heaven, that we may be accepted or well-pleasing, accepted of him or well-pleasing to him. It is the Lord we need to be seeking to please with our lives. In conjunction with this, I must choose to study and obey the Bible. You know, the Word of God is quick, sharp, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. If you will study the Word of God diligently, God will show you things you need to know and things you need to do. And you'll be pleasing him with your life when you do. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing, which means correctly analyzing the word of truth, which means the scriptures. James 1:22, along the same line, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Here's one, another one. I know it's pointed. Another choice I must make is that I must choose to be faithful in all services, in a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching local church. Attending a church which doesn't teach the Bible as God's authority for my life will not be helpful to me. But when the pastor or others, we have three others in our church and we all do the same thing, we teach the Bible in every service and we seek always to teach it accurately as God intended it. The person who will be faithful in all the services and pay attention will do well spiritually. The person who doesn't have enough gumption to get up and get to the services, he's not going to do as well as he might. Finally, there are choices that I personally have made. And I say these things to illustrate what you can do in your life, not to bring attention to myself. Think back about choices you made in your life. They shaped what you are today. Think about that. You are today the result of a whole string of choices that you have made for the last number of years. Some of you could say 30 years. Some of you could say 40 years. Some of you could pick a different number. The choices some people have made have ruined their lives. Our prisons are full of people who have ruined their lives by bad choices they made. Some of your choices may have been made as an unsaved person. Some of the choices may not have been so good. Other choices have brought you where you are today. I suspect that every one of us has some things we chose to do or chose not to do, which we've lived to regret. Things, if we had it to do over again, we would choose to do differently. It is important that we make the choices God wants us to make. The Israelites chose to rebel against God at Kadesh Barnea. As a result, the entire nation spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness rather than entering the promised land of Canaan. They did this while waiting for all those to die who were 20 years old or older at the time of the provocation in the wilderness. I don't know what many of the choices are which you have made in your life. I can only speak of myself to illustrate how these things work. God led me to make the right choices all along the way. And that's probably starting at age 15, okay? And he's done, and he has done or will do the same thing for you. Unfortunately, I also made some bad choices along the way, but God did not lead me to make any of these bad choices. I'm guessing that you may also have made some bad choices in your life. Bad choices are made every time we choose to disobey the Lord, to sin, or not to put Him first in our lives. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye, the Lord says. Basically, I chose to obey my parents as a child. You have to remember, my mother was about 5'1" and weighed 110 pounds. My dad was a different size. He was about 6'2" and 230 or 40 pounds. I made sure that I did what my dad said. My mother, no big deal, all right? You understand? I understood. Somehow when my dad told me to do something, I knew that he expected me to get it done. My children were raised that way. I trust you were raised that way. If you weren't, that's too bad. You should have been taught to obey your parents. If you don't obey your parents, how are you going to obey anybody else in life? Occasionally, I chose to disobey my parents, but you know, this never worked out very well for me. I chose to do well in school, at least starting in the eighth grade, I chose to do well, but not until the eighth grade. I was bored in school. I thought school was stupid. I knew all the answers. I was bored. I didn't even know the questions, but I knew the answers, right? Sure. Typical grade school boy. I chose never to use tobacco products. I had two or so in my family that died of lung cancer. I chose never to drink alcoholic beverages. I went down to Skid Row in Chicago with groups that went into rescue missions and saw too many things ever to want to touch a drop of alcohol. I chose never to do drugs or to hang around those who did. I had people trying to get me to drink and trying to get me to take up smoking. And I'm thankful the Lord kept me from that. As a result, I never had to quit. I never harmed my health by using these things. Some of you would like to have been able to say the same thing, but you didn't. You can't say the same thing because you did check out these things. Thankfully, in many cases, you've overcome them. You know, I chose to play sports. I loved football and I chose to play. My mom wanted to teach me how to play the piano, but I wanted to play football. I made the choice not to learn how to play the piano when I think I had the talent to do well at it. It's a choice I've regretted. If I had it to do over again, I would have learned both how to play the piano and to play football. I could have done both. I chose instead only to play football. Without bothering to consult me, if you can believe it, God chose to help direct my life by allowing some football injuries. I never intended to get hurt playing football, but if you can believe it, God had a better idea. These injuries turned out to be some of the best things that ever happened to me in my life because they woke me up and taught me that I needed to get serious with the Lord and start studying my Bible. Although I loved playing football, I never played another game after that. So I chose to study my Bible seriously. I was just at my 15th birthday, and I found out that I really enjoyed doing it. And the more I studied my Bible beginning around my 15th birthday, the more I chose to pursue after the Lord with all my heart. The same thing will happen to you if you will seriously study the Bible. I chose to dedicate my life to the Lord and to live for Him with no idea where this would eventually take me. I chose to be faithful in all the services of my local church. Until then, I only went Sunday mornings and did not attend the evening service or prayer meeting. This was my dad's practice at that time in his life, but it was not helpful to me spiritually. After I was married, he began attending all the church services like he should have been doing all along. He was a great father for me, but he had some spiritual growing to do just like I did. I chose to serve the Lord with all my life. It was a deliberate choice. Joshua 24:15 says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood." Now, the flood is not speaking of Noah's flood. It's speaking of beyond the river, meaning beyond on the other side of the Euphrates River, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Remember, Abraham came out of Mesopotamia from beyond the river. There was a young lady named Donna in my homeroom in high school. She sat in front of me in our homeroom. Although while I was still a 13-year-old brat, you didn't know I could be that way, did you? My first words to her were, "Turn around and shut up." Can you believe I said that to a young lady at age 13? But then in my sophomore year in high school, I began to take an interest in her. I chose to begin dating her at age 15. I chose to invite her to church with me as a result of her attending our church services. She heard the gospel and got saved. Now, later on in life, she laughed when we talked about my telling her to turn around and shut up. I thought she had been saved previously, or at that time in my life, I would never have even dated her. I chose to be honest and always do the right thing. I chose to go to college. It was with the intention of training to serve the Lord. I chose to study Greek. See, all these choices were what the Lord directed me to do. I chose to study Greek to aid my understanding of the New Testament. I thought I would become a Bible translator on the mission field, but God directed me into the pastoral ministry. I had no idea God would use the study of Greek to make an expository preacher out of me, nor to make a Greek professor out of me, nor to enable me to write New Testament commentaries. At that time in my life, I didn't even know what expository preaching was. All I ever heard in my church was John 3:16, which was okay, but there's more in the Bible than John 3:16. I thought that was what church was all about, just a place where you could invite your unsaved friends so that the pastor could preach the gospel to them. I thought that's what witnessing was. My thinking was really wrong and in need of revision, and God redirected my thinking through the scriptures. At age 20, I chose to marry my high school sweetheart. I chose to have children. I chose to go to graduate school after graduating from college. I chose to obey God's call for me to be a pastor. I chose to teach Bible to my church people and not just be an entertainer. I chose to become a Bible college professor and administrator. You see, all of these things reflect God's direction in my life and decisions I had to make. I chose to write my understanding of the books of the New Testament for my own benefit so that I could recall things I had studied and how I had explained them. I had no idea that they would ever be helpful to others and had no intention of ever publishing them. Again, God had other ideas which never occurred to me. When my wife's health began to fail, I chose to be her caregiver, regardless of what it involved. And those of you that have done that know good and well what it involved. She became my ministry for the last 18 years of her life. And if necessary, I would do it all again in a heartbeat, just like she would have done for me. Eventually, I chose to become the interim pastor at Calvary Baptist Church in Hendersonville, North Carolina. You know, a little town up in the mountains somewhere. And I'm so thankful for the opportunity to do so. Today, this morning's service marks the completion of 2 years of my ministry at Calvary Baptist Church. And I absolutely love the people in this church and what God has enabled me to do. I'm a blessed man to be privileged to be your pastor. You people are a blessing to me. You may never know how much I need you people and how much I love you. You may never know how great a blessing pastoring this church has been to me. Thank you for being such a blessing to me. Late last July, I chose to date a young lady, and 5 minutes into the first date, I chose to ask this young lady named Arlita to marry me. What a blessing she has been to me. We both believe that God has brought us together and is meeting needs in both of our lives. Needs that we really didn't even know that we had. Today, we are both continuing to serve the Lord in the capacity of His choosing. What a privilege is ours. You see, it all comes about by making the right choices. And God's directing us. And He'll do the same for you. Now, that doesn't mean you'll end up being the pastor of this church. But it does mean that you'll be where you are supposed to be in His will for your life. None of us can go back and undo some of the choices we've made in the past, nor would we want to. But here's what we need to do. We need to determine that as God enables us, we are going to make the right choices throughout the rest of our lives in accordance with God's will for our lives, regardless of what they might involve or where they might lead. As I look back on it, I can honestly say that Jesus led me all the way. I can also say, based on my experience and my understanding of the scriptures, that if you will let Him, He will do the same for you. So I ask you, are you really saved? I can help you with that if you'll let me. Are you really living for the Lord? Is that what your life is all about? That's what it needs to be. I can help you with that too. Men, it's Father's Day. I know this isn't your typical Father's Day message. I don't care. It's what the Lord led me to direct your way this morning. The greatest gift you can give to your children and wife is to be a saved, godly man living in the center of God's will for your life and providing godly spiritual leadership for your family in accordance with the scriptures. Why not make this a special Father's Day and determine before God to be the sort of man God wants you to be? It'll help your wife, it'll help your children, and it'll help you. Please the Lord with your life. Be the best man you can be for the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the privilege we have in knowing how you have provided for us and how you continue to provide direction for our lives through the scriptures. Help each of us to put you in first place as saved people and to be seeking to live for you regardless of where that takes us. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.